This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:15 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're now talking actually about the WHO and how they fared in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. Because as many countries start to stabilise, public health experts are also stepping back to reflect on global progress and to see how collectively as a people, how we've done. And this is also coming as the WHO appoints a panel to essentially rate the organisation's response and its ability to lead. So there are some questions that they're going to be asking, like, did they take the right measures? Were the responses timely? Are existing mechanisms enough to curb future pandemics? And the list goes on from there. And this panel will be led by Helen Clark, former Prime Minister of New Zealand, and Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, Liberia's former president. And Clark has said that she expects her task is going to be exceptionally challenging. And she has good reason to say that. For one, it's the sixth time in 17 years that the WHO has declared a public health emergency. And according to WHO figures, this is the worst pandemic of the 21st century. It's infected more than 10 million people. It's claimed more than 500,000 lives. And what's just as daunting, I think, is that Clark predicts, and she's not alone in this, that this will happen again. And she added that unless the world is more proactive in preventing pandemics, we'll be stuck in an ongoing economic, social and political crisis. And I think this hits on a number of concerns that people are having about COVID-19, because it's one thing to have it happen. It's quite another to then step back and say, well, if it happens again, or when something like this happens again, how prepared will we be? And I think an important step in that is actually assessing how well we've done. So in trying to understand, you know, what the WHO is actually going to be looking at, we are going to be speaking with Professor Datuk Dr. Lokman Hakim, Pro Vice Chancellor of the International Medicine University. And if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Prof, thank you very much for joining us on the show. So could you help us understand the specific roles of WHO in handling a situation like COVID-19?
Okay. If you look at the functions of WHO, under their own constitution, it's clearly specified that WHO is to act as the directing and coordinating authority with regard to international health problems like COVID. So the world is looking at the WHO as a guide in determining how the situation should be handled. And of course, the first thing first, like declaring the state of pandemic. No one can declare pandemic. It's the authority within the WHO that can call it a pandemic. And also the role and function of the WHO in that situation to provide any form of technical assistance to the member state upon request and to assist the government in whatever way that is required to manage the situation. And in order for the global community to understand better what's going on, of course, information sharing is very critical, very important, and this is where, again, the important role that the WHO has to play in coordinating the reporting of cases and share that with the global community. In terms of technical aspect of managing the COVID-19, for example, in coordinating the global effort in specific research and development that needs to be carried out, for example, coordinating the clinical trial of new antiviral drugs and also in the development of vaccine. These are among other important roles that the WHO plays in as a function of global community.
So what are your thoughts on how the WHO has handled the pandemic?
Okay, I think it's understanding the complexity of the situation. I think they have done fairly well in the sense of guiding member states in managing the situation. In fact, many countries are actually looking forward to such guidance and continue to seek WHO assistance in helping the situation. For example, I mean, in our own country, we have been in close contact with WHO in providing advisories to the public. And as you know, people can access information from anywhere. It's too easy to get information from the internet nowadays. But what is the right thing to do, and what kind of correct advisory that you need to share with the public? It's very important. So WHO has that capacity in providing the evidence-based advisories in order for member states to use it to help in the management of COVID-19. Certainly, there will be lots of queries and questions. Some people are questioning, but I think we have to look at it in a more broader perspective, in the sense that every statement that we make must be based on good and scientific evidence. Even the issue, like, for example, on the whether COVID-19 can be spread through the air, it's airborne. I think WHO is looking at it. I mean, they are not saying that right or wrong, but I think they are looking at the evidence, whatever evidence that exists in the literature, to see whether that is the case, because these are very important in determining what sort of a preventive measure or intervention that needs to be carried out in addressing this problem. So as far as I'm concerned, I do not have much issues with regard to the WHO response to the COVID-19.
And are there specific challenges to WHO's role in all of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge organization, and it has to represent the entire global community. And managing and dealing member states is a big, huge issue. I mean, we cannot deny the fact that politics has its role in influencing how things have been done and decisions being made. So, but these are some of the challenges. Right? For example, any decision, any resolution or convention that the WHO has to come up need to be agreed upon by member states. And getting that consensus is not that easy thing. But on technicality matters, I mean, WHO depends very much on the experts that it has access to for representing various regions. It's the way in the WHO mechanism. I mean, whenever they need to come up with some technical reports or technical guidance, they will tend to be very inclusive in terms of the representation from the various WHO region. But managing those sometimes is not an easy task, I must say.
And I suppose it's important to understand, you know, what do you think are the metrics of success in handling a pandemic?
This will be carried out by this panel. It has to be very objective in making the assessment in terms of timeliness of the response, in terms of completeness of the response, and the comprehensiveness in addressing the various complexity in transmission of this COVID-19. How the dynamic of this infection occurs in different countries are very different. And how the countries are responding to the COVID is also quite different in that sense. Assessing the effectiveness of the function at the end of the day, and look at how the global, this WHO is able to provide the appropriate guidance and support to the member state in order to carry out the function. One important aspect, I think, was also to assess the views of the member state, because they are the ones who are actually utilizing the resources that the WHO has. And I think how the member state views the role of the WHO in this is to me, is very important. But it has to be also taken into consideration the political, geographical distribution of the countries that we are talking about.
And some have talked about how the outbreak has been politicized by some governments. Would you agree with that? I mean, what impact might this have had on the way the pandemic was handled in those nations?
Well, it's very difficult to answer. I mean, if you notice, but there are only a few critical nations, I would say, that's been very vocal in criticizing WHO, but large majority of other countries, I think they are fine. So I think this is something that's quite difficult to understand and to address. I'm sure each country will have their own priorities and their own concerns.
So moving forward then, what measures can world organizations and governments adopt to try to avoid another pandemic, or at least better prepare for an event like this?
I don't think we will be able to prevent another pandemic. I mean, these kind of challenges will always come to threaten us. But learning from the experiences that we have gone through, I think it's very important. The same way like how we learn pandemic of H1N1. I mean, WHO has been criticized in how they handle H1N1 because, again, the problem is H1N1 turned out to be not as severe as what is expected. And the government has invested a lot in managing that situation. But in COVID-19, again, we are experiencing another challenge. I think documenting all these experiences will be very helpful in deciding how we should move forward. Even for example, in our country, for example, whether the decision to lock down the whole country is the right thing that we are doing. Of course, we thought that looking at what we are experiencing right now, we thought we have done very well in managing COVID-19 by locking the entire country. But there are also other countries which does not embrace locking down the whole country. But still, COVID-19 situation is not much better than ours. I mean, we are as good as ours, despite the entire lockdown of the country. So I think by looking critically into the experiences that we are experiencing now, we'll be able to help us to understand better and be prepared better for any future challenges.
Dr. Luqman, thank you so much for joining us. That was Professor Datuk Dr. Luqman Hakim, Pro Vice Chancellor of International Medical University, talking about the WHO and their response to COVID-19 and also looking in some ways at how governments have done it. Now, if you want to send your thoughts through, you can. We are pivoting back, however, to Masa Kita and Parliament because we still have some messages left that I think in many ways focus a little more tightly on what to do, right? Outside of the sort of more lofty or long-term goals of hoping for more youth participation, trying to change the system, there's also some conversation about, well, look, we just need to address it right now. And we have this that's come through from Grace, who says, conduct unbecoming of parliamentarians. There must be fines meted out to prevent this heckling and so on. And fines in parliament is something that's been talked about before, not just for conduct, but also, I think, for the issue of attendance. So that is something that we need to look at, or at least we need to think about how to address things with more gravity. So Kalai says, Art Harun should exercise greater authority by throwing MPs displaying unparliamentary behaviour out of the August House. With the House divided by a razor-thin margin, absent MPs will have major impact on any voting count on the floor. Similarly, MI is saying, again, hitting at the rhetoric, the one to blame is the Speaker. He is in control, not doing his part. How can a racist remark be allowed and the monkeying be allowed? And I think that is something that we'll continue to look at. I mean, it is a new speaker, so this is his second day as Speaker of the House. And I do hope that these messages and the sentiment within these messages will be what we see, that there is going to be a speaker who is in control and also is observant of the fact that when people are behaving in an unparliamentarian fashion, something needs to be done. Because there is also another conversation about how just because you apologize and retract the statement, is that enough? Right now there really isn't anything more than that beyond, throwing people out or suspension. But I suppose the real impact, whether that makes any real impact, is something that we do need to discuss and something that something that needs to be addressed. So we're going to head now to the 7:30 news, after which we'll be heading back for something quite a lot lighter on tonight's Popcorn Culture. We'll be throwing back to X-Men, which is a movie that's turning 20 years old today. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.